Bhagavad Lila, 10th canto, chapter 59. Narakasura Mardan, the killing of the demon Narak. Prikshit asked, how is Bhaumasura, who kidnapped so many women, killed by Krishna? In this chapter, Krishna kills the demon Narakasura, another name for Bhaumasura, who is the son of Bhumi, at the request of Indra, and marries the 16,000 daughters of the kings, princesses who were abducted and held captive by Narakasura. Bhauma was so powerful that he stole the earrings belonging to Indra's mother, Aditi, along with Varuna's umbrella and the demigod's playground at the peak of Mandara Mountain. Indra complained to Krishna about these misdeeds, and then Krishna took Satyabhama and Garuda. He rode to the city of Pragyotishapura. The umbrella actually belonged to Varunadev, but because of Indra's superior position as the king of the demigods, the verse mentions that it was stolen from Indra. Pragyotishapura was Bhauma's capital. Why did Krishna bring his wife along, Satyabhama? Krishna had promised Bhumi that he would not kill her demoniac son, Bhaumasura, without her permission. Since Bhumi is an expansion of Satyabhama, the latter could authorize Krishna to kill the unusually nasty Bhaumasura, if necessary during the heat of the battle. Krishna took Satyabhama along for this purpose. In addition, Satyabhama had been miffed when Narada Muni brought a heavenly parijat flower to and gave to Rukmini. At that time, Krishna promised the jealous Satyabhama, I will give you a whole tree of parijat. Therefore, Krishna brought Satyabhama along to show her that he could take the tree from Indra. Krishna took his club and he broke through all the fortifications surrounding Bhaumasura's city and shattered all the magic seals and tantric coverings and armors protecting the hearts of the warriors. When Krishna sounded his conch shell, the sleeping demon woke up. Mora was so powerful and effulgent that he seemed to be swallowing up the three worlds. He wielded a trident and hurled it at Garuda. He made ferocious sounds that filled the universe, the Mora demon who was protecting Bhaumasura's city of Pragyotishapura. Krishna fought with the Mora demon, and then Krishna sliced off his head with his disc, and his seven sons came, and they were all knocked off easily by Krishna. Severed all their heads and arms, sent them to Yamaraj. Vishnu says that he didn't actually, the word in this verse 14, Yamashayam, that Krishna sent them all to the abode of Yamaraj or death. The real meaning is that Krishna gave them liberation. For in this verse 14, the word Yam means Yamaniyam, or the yoga process which culminates with liberation. After seeing all his fortresses and broken and fortifications broken, the demon Narakasura, also known as Bhaumasura, came out with elephants exuding mudda, which is a vicious, thick secretion coming out of the foreheads of excited elephants. Naraka threw his Shakti spear weapon at Krishna, and then Krishna decimated Bhaumasura's enemy troops with colorfully feathered arrows. Cut off all the enemy's arms, and then he cut to pieces their swords, hand weapons, arrows, and missiles. One by one, Krishna shot down each of the enemy's weapons with three arrows. Even before the weapons shot by the warriors reached their target, Krishna first killed the throwers of the weapons, and then destroyed the missiles while they were still in the air, each with three arrows. Krishna's arrows were shot one after another, not three at once. Krishna was shooting his arrows so rapidly that Shukadeva Goswami, while narrating this Leela to Parikshit, cried out in extreme amazement, "Ho Kuru Udvaha! Oh, here are the Kurus, listen!" Shukadeva implies that even among the Kurus, such personalities as Bhishma and Arjuna were not capable of knowing such expertise and swiftness in using weapons, in spite of the fact that Sri Krishna himself had taught them. Narakasura was enraged, seeing his armies being defeated, so he threw his spear at Krishna's carrier Garuda. But it felt just like a flower garland, insignificant. Completely frustrated, he raised his trident to kill Krishna. As Bhauma raised his invincible trident, Satyabhama, sitting beside Krishna on Garuda, said, "Kill him right away!" And following Satyabhama's order, Krishna did just that. And all the demigods cried, "Alas, alas, well done." The sages and demigods shouted, "Ha, ha, iti, alas, alas," which usually indicates sorrow, but here it indicates condemnation. The sages and rishis observing were saying, "Oh, what a sinful person, Bhaumasura, disturbing the whole world. It is good that you have been killed." And the sages came out and covered Krishna with garlands. Then the goddess of the earth, Bhumi Devi, approached Krishna and presented him with Aditi's earrings. She returned everything stolen by her son, Bhaumasura, including the peak of Mandara Mountain, Maniparvat. The Bhumi Devi bowed down to Krishna, and her mind was filled with devotion, and she offered prayers to the Lord. Namaste Devadevesha Shankar Chakra Gadadhara Bhaktech Chopatta Rupaya Paramatma Namostute. Obeisance is unto you, O Lord of the chief demigods, O holder of the conch disc and club, O supreme supersoul. You assume various forms to fulfill your devotees' desires. Obeisances unto you. Vishnu says, Bhumi addressed Krishna as, "O Paramatma, O Supreme Soul, you know the sincerity of my heart, even though I am the mother of your enemy. Nama Pankajanabhaya, Nama Pankajamalane, Nama Pankajanetraya, Namaste, Pankajangraye. My respectful obeisances unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotuses, whose glance is as cool as a lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses." Bhumi's describing the sweet beauty of Krishna indicates that just by his darshan, her senses had attained perfection. Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam Vasudevaya Vaishnave Purushayari Bijaya Purna Bodhaya Te Namaha. Obeisances unto you, the Supreme Lord Vasudev, Vishnu, the primeval person, the original seed. Obeisances unto you, the omniscient one, Vishwanath. In this verse, Bhumi explains, "I am sporting now in the ocean of your opulences. I pay respects to you, the omnipotent, supreme personality of Godhead. Even though you are full of all powers and are the original form of Bhagavan, still you appear as a son of Vasudeva. And though you are the son of Vasudeva, you are Vishnu, the all-pervading one. Though you are all-pervading, you still appear as an individual person. Though you are an individual, you are the original source of all, even of Narayan, as you showed during the Brahma Vimohan Leela. Though you are the original seed, you are the form of complete consciousness, Brahman itself. You are endowed with infinite spiritual qualities. You are also the impersonal Brahman. Ajaya jana yitresya brahmane nanta shaktaye parava Varatman Bhutan Bhutatman Paramatman Namostute. Anticipating that Krishna may say, "But Bhumi Devi, if such is the case, then there is no existence prior to my own coming into being." Bhumi replies, "Though you are unborn, you generate the universes. Though you generate the universes, you are the impersonal Brahman. Though you are impersonal and without qualities, you are endowed with a spiritual form and unlimited transcendental qualities and energies. And though you have unlimited energies, three are principal, tatashta, bahiranga, antaranga. You are the living entities composed of all the elevated and degraded souls. You are the soul of the material creation, and you are the internal witness." 29. Tvam vai shishrikshur aja utkatam prabho tamo nirodhaya bibarshya sambrita sanaya sattvam jagato jagatpate kalapradanam purusho bhavan para. Bhumi Devi said, "Desiring to create according to the time, you carry out creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe through your Maya Shakti. You contain the activated Raja, Tama, and Sattva Gunas, but you are not covered by them. Like the conditioned souls, you are time, Maya, and the living entities, since they are all your energies. Nevertheless, by your internal energy, Srup Shakti, you are separate and distinct from these above-mentioned entities." 30. Aham payo jyotir atani lo nabho matrani deva mana indriyani karta mahan it yakilam characharam twayad dutiye bhagavan nayam brahma. Bhumi Devi said, "Firstly, but Krishna may object, you say that this very body of mine is composed of the material elements. Thus, since my eyes and other senses are expansions of false ego in the mode of goodness, I am called Brahman mixed with Maya. How then am I distinct from these material elements?" Bhumi replies, "Those people who say that earth and all the other elements, senses, sense objects, mind, false ego, consciousness, and the moving and non-moving exist in you are mistaken, because in you there is no difference. Your body and senses are all spiritual. It cannot be that matter is the same as you." 31. Tasyatmajo yam tavapada pankajam bita prapanarti haropasadita tatpalayainam kuruhasta pankajam shirasya mush yakila kama shapaham. Here is the son of Bhomasura. Frightened, he is approaching your lotus feet, my lord, since you remove the distress of all who seek refuge in you. Please protect him. Place your lotus hand, which dispels all sin, upon his head. O remover of distress of the surrendered, the son of Naraka is named Bhagadatta. He's extremely afraid, so I'm approaching your lotus feet on his behalf. After hearing Bhumi's prayers, Krishna entered Bhomasura's palace and saw the 16,000 royal maidens who Bhoma had kidnapped and abducted by force from various kings. Actually, there were 16,100 royal maidens, according to Vishnu Puran. He stole women not only from kings, but also kidnapped the virgin daughters of demigods, sages, and demons as well. Those kanyas, princesses, were enchanted to see the most beautiful Lord Krishna, and they each desired him as their husband, and Krishna accepted it. Then he went to the abode of Indra, and instigated by Satyabhama, took the Parijat tree, and it looked very beautiful in Satyabhama's palace. The bees followed the tree all the way from Indraloka greedy for the fragrance and sweet sap. This tree was planted in Satyabhama's private garden. But Indra fought with the Lord. Priksha was amazed. How is that possible? He was astonished to hear that Indra fought with his worshipful Lord. So Shukadeva condemns Indra's character in verse 41. Although Krishna fulfilled Indra's desire to kill Narakasura and bring back his mother Aditi's earrings, still Indra fought with Krishna over the Parijat tree, even though he is the king of the demigods. What anger the demigods have! One who is really situated in Sattva-gun would never do such a thing. Furthermore, Indra is not just any demigod, but the king of the demigods, and even he has manifested the mode of ignorance. Therefore, to hell with their wealth. What anartha does wealth not create? Said Sukadeva. Returning to Dwarka, Krishna married all the women at the same time, because the experts in astrology told Krishna that the auspicious time for marriage was that very moment. Krishna manifested identical forms, Prakash Vigraha, of himself to marry all the brides. Though Krishna had one body, it appeared in separate forms and he controlled all of them. It was not simply a multiplication of bodies. Narada Muni says later in chapter 61, it is quite amazing that in a single body Krishna simultaneously married 16,000 women, each in a separate palace. Krishna married them properly. Krishna's entire company of relatives, Devaki and others, also appeared in each and every house simultaneously. By Krishna's inconceivable energy, all his associates also manifested identical forms. In all circumstances, they were complete, not present only in a partial expansion. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita confirms that the Prakash forms of Krishna are not different at all from the original form of Krishna. Performing inconceivable activities, Krishna was situated in each house of every wife, so that each one thought, Krishna is only associating with me, and all the other queens are suffering in separation from Krishna. The palaces of the queens had no equal or superior even in Vaikuntha, what to speak of the enjoyment available in those palaces. Immersed in lust, transcendental kam, which is innate in his own internal nature, Krishna enjoyed with thousands of the most pleasing goddesses of fortune, although in Vaikuntha his plenary expansion, Narayan, enjoys with only one goddess of fortune. Therefore, Dwarka is far superior to Vaikuntha. In Dwarka, Krishna carried out his household duties with the addition of sweetness. In Dwarka, 16,000 gopis were assembled with Krishna, who is considered the supreme super soul shelter of all living beings. This is Skanda Puran. These gopis are his renowned 16 potencies. Krishna is like the moon, the gopis are like its phases, and the full contingent of gopis is like the full sequence of the moon's 16 phases. Each of these 16 divisions of gopis is subdivided into 1,000 parts. So the 16 shaktis of Krishna, manifesting as 16 gopis, also appeared in some expanded form as the queens of Dwarka, and each of these 16 expanded 1,000. Padma Puran says, Kaishore Gopakanyasta Yovane Rajakanyaka. Those who were daughters of cowherds in their early youth became royal princesses in their maturity. In other words, Krishna Vrindavan is the most perfect and complete form of Godhead, and his plenary expansions, Prakash Vigrahas, in Dwarka are perfect. Similarly, the Braja Gopis are the supremely complete forms of Krishna's pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti, and their Prakash or expanded forms, the queens of Dwarka, are perfect. So it's Purna, Purnatara, and Purnatam. Brahma and other demigods do not know the method of attaining Krishna, who is the husband of those perfect Lakshmis, the Dwarka Mahishis. What chance is there for anyone else to directly know Krishna? And what to speak of actually attaining him. While continuously increasing joy, the queens of Dwarka experience Krishna's smiling, love-filled glances, intimate bodily contact, and playful love talks. Krishna's queens exhibited their natural feminine shyness whenever he responded in kind to their sweet mutterings. Although each queen had hundreds of maidservants, they would each personally serve Krishna, approach him humbly, offer him a seat, and worship him with excellent paraphernalia. They would bathe and massage Dwarkadish's feet and offer him pan to chew. They would personally fan him and anoint him with fragrant sandalwood paste and adorn him with flower garlands, dressing his hair, arranging Krishna's bed, bathing Krishna, and presenting him with various gifts. Everything was done personally, directly by them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Ki Jai. Supreme Personality of Servitorship, Pure Devotees Ki Jai. The Supreme Personal Service of Radha and Krishna in the most personal sweet abode of Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai.